The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Where's Scott?
Good morning, Vietnam!
Rise and shining. Wakey waking.
Good morning.
Where's Scott?
Good morning. Good morning to you.
And you.
And you.
Robert Scott Bell. You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The federal government can do most anything in this country.
And let me say this to all of the chattering class. The American people really don't care.
Robert Scott Bell.
Where in the Constitution does it give you the authority?
I don't worry about the Constitution on this, to be honest.
Wow.
What's going on here?
This is scary.
Robert Scott Bell.
I personally feel that I've done nothing morally wrong.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yes. You know, do me a favor. Could you say senator instead of ma'am? I worked so hard to get that title.
Stop whining.
Liberals, I hate them so much.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Free drugs. Get your free drugs here. Don, you got some free drugs for us?
No, I don't.
I will explain momentarily, Don. Well, one moment. But before we get to that, yesterday I saw in the Drudge Report that in 5.5 hours, the Supreme Court's going to rule on Obamacare. And I'm sitting there going, waiting. 5.5. I've never heard the Supreme Court rule in 5.5 hours on anything. What's going on here?
No, it was kind of exciting because we were both sitting there. Because it's one of those things where when you look at a headline
can
you go with
up.
Just what the headline says. And we, I don't like to use Drudge as a major source of news because it's really not. It's kind of one of the last things I go to.
We're professionals here. We can usually see through these.
But you're right. It says 5.5 hours, High Court to rule on Obama's mandates.
What kind of headline
is that? I'm looking at my watch. I'm thinking, all right, so this is going to have such time. We got to talk about this. But when you go into the article, you find out that what's going to happen is – the Supreme Court has agreed to hear the arguments, and they're going to allow 5.5 hours of argument, but they're not going to do this until March.
Yeah, so. I know. It was great. It was like, oh, man. And a half hours of argument on something that should take 3 minutes. Excuse me? There is no constitutional authority to mandate individual Americans to buy anything. Right. All right, done, over, out, unconstitutional, leave it alone. That's why I say, what are we waiting for? I mean, this is a circus.
It's been a long battle. You know, they've been trying to get it to the Supreme Court. So at least the Supreme Court has agreed to hear on it. But we have to wait till March before that starts. So.
Oh, hey, by the way, Friday interview I did with Bill O'Reilly, remember that one?
Yes.
It's going viral. They picked it up. Liberty Pulse picked it up. Daily Paul has it. It's on blip.tv. It's on other YouTube channels. I mean, something must have struck a nerve with that.
Yep. Well, you know, Bill O'Reilly is kind of a target right now. If anybody's taken a look at his Facebook page recently.
Yeah. I know.
There was a bit of blowback to him disqualifying the Ron Paul results on his highly scientific and all important town hall poll.
Right. And then it went beyond that, of course. You went to CNBC. They pulled a Bill O'Reilly. Then was it CBS, their debate over the weekend?
CBS, just minutes after the debate, the South Carolina debate, they pulled the poll.
They pulled another Bill O'Reilly.
As Ron Paul was winning, he had 27,000 votes on him. And then the funny thing is after they pulled the poll, they obviously hadn't learned that you don't mess with Ron Paul's supporters. So the Ron Paul supporters just slammed CBS with emails and stuff. So Sunday, almost 24 hours after the debate had been over with, they decided to put the poll back up at that point. So,
And guess who was there to cover it all?
Yes, of course.
Jerry Doyle and yours truly. That's you, Don. And more viral movement on that. Jerry Doyle's slamming them up right and left and center on this issue, and he's pointing it out. And great. And by the way, it was a lot of fun being back on the Jerry Doyle show. We got to cover a lot yesterday on the story of a pill that destroys fat, and of course more attempts to put kids on statin drugs by testing them for cholesterol at all ages. It's crazy.
Yep, always good times being on Jerry's show.
Yeah, no, we had a great time with it. Jerry's doing a great job out there. Now, back to the free drugs, though. That's kind of where we wanted to start here. We've got a lot to do today on the show. Liam Sheff's going to be joining me for some extended conversation. We've been having some good ones, so we're going to continue with that. But this idea of free drugs, I mean, this is an interesting story, is it not? Study finds that many patients shun free heart drugs. Isn't that what everybody wanted, free drugs? Free everything? Free health care?
Well, that's what Obamacare, I think, is supposed to be about, at least giving you access to free drugs.
That's the thrill going up Chris Matthews' leg. Free drugs!
Yay! Yeah, but this story is rather interesting because they thought that if we gave people free drugs, then people would just be popping pills left and right and taking their drugs. But what they found out is in this major study on heart attack survivors, they offered them free drugs and found out that the people, even when they got them free, weren't taking them.
Doctors were stunned to see that happened in a major study involving heart attack survivors. The patients were offered well-established drugs to prevent a recurrence of heart trouble, including cholesterol-lowering statins. You know, I think probably half of the people must listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show, and medicines that slow the heart and help it pump more effectively. Listen to this quote, Don, from Dr. Elliot Antman of Harvard-affiliated Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. He says, "My God, we gave these people the medicines for free and only half took it."
Great Scott.
Something's wrong here.
Yes.
And of course,
no, he couldn't understand. Yeah, I mean, they couldn't even give this stuff away.
These disobedient Americans.
People were not taking it. And they were saying that it's no secret that, you know, in studies they've done in the past, that Americans in general don't follow doctors' instructions when it comes to taking prescription drugs. In fact, I think the statistic is that 10% of patients are taking their medicines the way they've been instructed to after a year after a heart attack.
Well, the less people that are compliant, the more people are going to live, right?
And that's the positive spin to this, right?
That should be. And Dr. Eric Peterson of Duke University is piling on. He's like, these Americans, adherence in America is miserable. Like, if it would only all just shut up and take their drugs, stop asking questions, don't listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show, stop reading natural news, take your drugs.
That's an interesting statement. Adherence in America is miserable. Adherence to what is miserable? Yeah. Adherence to the doctor saying you must take these drugs for this period of time and take, you know, what is this? This almost sounds, and maybe it's just my thinking, but, you know, it seems to me that could be applied in a lot of ways when it's coming, whether it's coming from the medical industrial complex or from the government. You know, adherence in America is miserable. Adherence to what? To the laws and the regulations that we put out there. People are not adhering to these things. Well, guess what? You know, I guess maybe people want to exercise some free will and maybe some individual thinking.
Ah, man, shocking. You know, Americans are waking up to the origin of what it's like to be an American. Yeah, hallelujah.
Freedom
Rock
of
and
choice.
Roll. Right. Well, Don, thanks for helping us kick off the show today. We've got a lot we're going to be covering, including how do we feed the world? Is it going to be through stem cell-infested, cancer-created lab meat? Maybe that story we covered out of Japan wasn't so far from reality. We've got that coming up.
That's called the McRib, isn't it?
Yeah, the McRib. They already have it out there. Well, they don't call it what we're going to be covering it. Also, we're going to talk about toxicology and Parkinson's disease. We have a moment of duh coming up a little later. Liam Sheff will be joining us. Maybe another surprise guest will be returning that we've had on before. What was that guy from L'Oreal, Bruno? I don't know. Anyway, we're going to have a good time today, and that's all there is to it. If you don't like it, call me and say 866-939-BELL. Stop having fun on the air, Robert! Too late. We're already having it. Rocking the health world. RobertScottBell.com, 866-939-BELL, Super Don in the house, naturalnewsradio.com. Get your email alerts. Coming right back after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Scott Bell Show.
Coming back at you live because Liam's making fun of me. I know he wants to. He's back in studio.
Live.
Yes, live because Robert's live again. He's alive.
In a world where Robert Scott Bell has a radio show.
He's back.
Hey, somebody suggested that I do voiceovers and get paid money. So from everything you do from now on is going to be.
A conflagrator. I mean, a contributor to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
In a world where Liam Skeef can be a conflagrator on the Robert Scott
Bench. You know, the voice of the movies. Yeah, that's what they always do. They go the deep and intense and emotional.
In a world where Sylvester Stallone can make comedies.
And Bill O'Reilly thinks he's Rambo. Wasn't that amazing?
That was weird.
Wasn't that the weirdest interview I
had
ever done?
That was very weird.
I thought it was
weird and wacky stuff.
Very strange. We did have a call about that, Liam. We had somebody call in from Missouri.
Somebody loved it.
I think they like Bill O'Reilly, though. That's my guess.
They loved it.
I mean, a lot of people still like that guy and watch him. I think they might have been offended by
my... say bad things about me?
I don't know. But let's give a listen, shall we, to this call.
I'm going to have some schmeat for them.
Well, let's hear. I believe this is Ron from Missouri.
Uh-oh.
This is Ron from Missouri.
It is.
Your fake conversation with O'Reilly, I thought was...
Did he say fake?
Kind of cheesy. And to me, that's something that Rush Limbaugh would do. I wish he would just stick to the facts and give us good information. We don't need that kind of Rush Limbaugh antics on the air. Thanks.
Okay. That was
Ron. Big to you, Ron.
Really, if I'm starting to sound like Rush Limbaugh, maybe we could charge higher rates on advertising.
Are you joking? I wish I were that, not fat, but wealthy. He lost weight.
Early on in Rush Limbaugh's day, he was actually very funny.
He
did a lot of skits. I mean, my dad introduced me to Rush, back in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. And that's when he was actually doing, you know, the thing that made talk radio great. That was more than just the facts, ma'am. Let's bring Jack Webb on the Robert Scott Bell Show. I think I do a lot of facts on this show. I am entitled. I demand my right to do some comedy. I'm sorry.
Megadiddles, my friend.
My fellow Americans, I do not want you to fall for the machinations of the feminazis and the liberal-tefcocrats.
Well, hey, Ron from M.O., I am not meaning to offend you that you didn't like the Bill O'Reilly interview, well, but
we don't control our guests.
I can't, how am I going to control a Bill O'Reilly? That guy is out of control.
He was weird.
Yeah, totally. And
what
rude,
was that
too.
Bear Grease thing.
I did not like that.
I don't know.
I don't know.
You know what he said when he left?
What? What did he say?
He said,
to you, right?
Yeah,
I didn't hear
him. Said, I'm going to build a shed out of wood and store wood in it, and I'm going to take you down to that woodshed. It was like a redundancy. And then he mentioned Bear Grease and wrestling.
Yeah. So anybody that's a fan of Bill O'Reilly, you may have been offended by that. But, you know, listen, this is talk radio. It is offensive. And if we're not offending somebody, we're not doing it right.
You are listening to the EIB Radio Nerdwork.
I don't have the golden EIB microphone, right? It's like a foam-covered, ancient, going back to the origins of radio here.
It's funny that he thinks Rush Limbaugh is like kind of like off kilter and out of bounds. You know, that comedian, Rush Limbaugh.
Well, he used to be. He's not as funny as he once was.
In the 80s.
Maybe. Yeah. No.
I mean, it's been a while. I mean, he's been sort of Karl Rove on the radio for about 15 years now.
Yeah.
I mean, he really does. He's an agenda setter for neoconservatives.
Sure.
He's very clever.
Yeah, totally.
He's a great broadcaster.
Listen, if you don't like any of the people I'm interviewing here, and don't call them fake, they're a parotic. It's a parotic artery of information. That's what we have here. A parotic artery of information flowing through the Robert Scott. But you never know.
That guy made me tense.
Listen, I got to do 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. I'm not complaining, but I'm not going to do straight facts for that. I'll bore myself to tears. I'm not here to bore myself.
I got to go out and I got to
get back here.
I got to get to the car. I'm feeling.
No. No, don't be sucking on that tailpipe like Don was yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, one article about carbon monoxide, and he's out there in the garage. What is that?
All right.
Yeah. Relax, man.
Man, I am feeling pretty good.
Yeah. This was one way to start the day. Well, we got some interesting stories on tap today, do we not, Liam? I think one of the things, of course, you've done so well over the years is blowing the myths of science right out of the water, you know, scientism. And there's another story about saving the planet from what? The Green Revolution, saving the planet. What is this? That we want meat, we want protein that is not from an animal, but it is. It's made in a lab, so we don't have to. What is going on?
Well, look, I've been a vegetarian for a long time, mostly because I'm not only better than most people, but I know it. All right. That's
what did you say?
That's not why I became a vegetarian. Aww. I became a vegetarian because I had it's just the thing that I wanted to do. That's all. I wanted to do it. I saw some movies on factory farming, and they're chopping these animals while they're still living into pieces. And I thought, that's enough. You know, I've had my share. And I grew up in Pennsylvania. I mean, I had more meat per day. We had four meals. Joke, right? We had four meals a day. Five of them were meat. Six of them were milk. Seven of them were eggs. So, you know, and they all
you
had
were
bacon.
Paleolithic before it was cool.
Of course. Bacon ice cream, anybody? Yes, okay. More syrup with your more syrup with your sausages? Yes, please. So that was my – it was really – it was too much for me. It made me sick.
Yeah.
So when I became vegetarian, I was very happy it worked for me. But I did so because I became aware that the majority of the land used in this country for agriculture is – that land is used for cattle. Essentially, all of that grain is stuffed into cattle. Cattle are not grain-eating organisms. They like to eat grass. They're healthy when they eat grass. They get cancer and bad fats and all kinds of bacterial diseases when they eat grains. And you can watch Food Inc. or the
sure.
That the,
that's all right. We have to make some copies here while we're on the air because I need to keep this stuff
Fast
up.
Fast Food Nation. That great book. But what's the one where the guy supersized me?
The Morgan Spurlock. We interviewed him and his beautiful girlfriend at the time.
She's lovely.
Oh my gosh, and she is wonderful. And,
great cook. I mean, I don't know personally.
Alex Jamieson. She's terrific. And you can go back and listen to any of the archive shows of the Robert Scott Bell Show. By the way, downloading at record pace today.
I know.
Actually growing by leaps and bounds.
Shocking.
Yeah. Thank you all out there for spreading the word on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Ron in Missouri, you too. Hopefully,
you can download that Bill O'Reilly thing. Just keep playing it. It'll grow.
No, that's right. He can erase it. He can download it and erase it.
Download it and erase it over and over.
I can't promise that you're going to enjoy every interview that I do. Some people really like me.
Well, mega dittos to you and yours out there in Funland, and download the Robert Scott Bell Show all the time. So I became aware that you could do better for the land, and I was concerned about the amount of water and land used. And I figure, look, I want to make a smaller impact. I'm not here to take everything that's not mine. I just sort of want to live that way. And I did, and I'm very happy living that way. And I eat a very healthy diet, and I enjoy it. It's not for everybody to eat the way I eat. But that's a fact. So everybody knows this. Everybody who needs to know it, everybody in the USDA, Dairy and Farming Association, everybody in the Cattle Ranchers Association, everybody at McDonald's knows how much land and food is used to produce a very, 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 very small amount of beef. Mm-hmm. You got to stuff thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of gallons of water through an animal to get it to produce a couple pounds of edible flesh, also edible.
But efficiency is what you're bringing up here. It's a highly inefficient means of food production.
Right.
So when they say about, well, we can feed the world, well, of course, some of the folks on planet Earth have recognized that, hey, if we got more vegetarians on the planet,
could eating lower
on the food chain, right?
Even goats and rabbits and fish and you know, things that don't take so
much. Yeah, even if you're not purely a vegetarian, there are other mechanisms of food production that include animals.
Cats.
That are much less in... Did you say cats?
No.
What?
Go on.
Okay. Are we the South Korean show? Right. We have fans in South Korea, by the way. I watch these bizarre foods with Andrew, whoever he is.
I went through China, and every time I saw like a bag of something that people were going to eat, I just took pictures of it. I said, do you mind if I take a picture? This is fantastic for me. I'm vegetarian, but I'm totally fascinated. What kind of frog is that, and what will it become?
Yeah. Well, and the one thing, I mentioned this, that Andrew guy from the bizarre foods.
Zimmerman, yeah.
He would eat anything. He'll
sure.
eat eyeballs, all this crazy stuff. I'm like, ooh, how does he do that? And then the one thing he ate that's my favorite food in the world, he blasts it up.
What?
Durian.
The
fruit from Thailand. It's a stinky fruit,
right.
But it's like creamy custard from God, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow.
Sweet, and it's amazing. When I was in Thailand, it's like a national sport. They watch the Westerners come over to eat it for the first time.
And vomit.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's a big thing. They're all looking at you intensely, and I'm like, wow,
what
this
it
is
taste
good.
Like?
Can I have some more? It tastes like a creamy custard from God.
That smells like
feet.
Sorry,
you got to get past that. My wife and my son, they hate it, but my daughter, we can eat it together, you know. But
well, you're
amazing.
Secretly Thai, like I'm secretly Hong Kongese or something. I was so at home in Southeast Asia, it wasn't even funny.
And it's a high protein fruit, anyway. Never mind. But we're talking about feeding the population.
So everybody knows that cattle farming is terribly inefficient. 16-20 pounds of grain that require tens of thousands, thousands of gallons of water, dozens of pounds of food to produce one measly pound of rather bad fat riddled flesh that gets ground into something and padded with GMO soy and stuffed into people at McDonald's and split a thousand ways to Sunday. So everybody knows this. So what is their solution? My solution was, okay, I won't eat that. Pretty simple. I won't contribute to that. I'll eat lentils, which require, very little water compared to a lot of things, and they have more protein. Lentils, peas, more protein per unit volume than a lot of meats, as much anyway. And guess what else they have? They have minerals and vitamins and phytonutrients and fiber to make your body, to make your bowel like you, unlike meat, which has no fiber at all. So you can be a very healthy vegetarian, get a lot of protein. I mean, I've been yelled at by people. Our friend Chris Barr told me I ate too much. I said, I eat a lot of lentils. He said, you eat too much protein. He was eating a hamburger at the time.
Wait a second. Oh, okay. Pick on Chris Barr when he's not here. We love Chris.
We love Chris.
Yes.
But I'm saying you can get a ton of protein without going to soy isolates. But that's not an option. This is what we have to do now. Now we have to get into the New World Order way of, and here we have an article. Here it is from let's see, NPR. Our friends at NPR, they've never let us wrong. Future of food, they say.
Mm-hmm.
Food of the future. Vladimir Mironov, a biologist at the University of Medical University of South Carolina, is among a handful of scientists culturing meat from animal tissue. Culturing meat?
What do you mean culturing? Like fermenting it? Like the old school?
No, I don't think
they mean that, do
they? His work involves turning formless, textureless patches of the stuff. What is that?
The stuff?
What is the stuff? Into mass-produced form, like meat sheets. Or what...
meat sheets.
What one might affectionately call... Schmeet.
Schmeet. You got to be kidding. It's like Lady Gaga wears a meat dress to one of the Oscar shows,
right,
or something.
I personally believe that this is the inescapable future. Oh, he's Russian. I personally believe that this is the inescapable future, he says. Wait, what is the inescapable? I'm not clear yet. What is the inescapable future?
Hold on, Liam. This sounds to me eerily similar to that story we covered a while back out of Japan where they were taken basically excrement, converting it into steak.
I don't know if that was true.
I know. We still haven't gotten to verify
but,
that,
but
now, it sounds similar,
I'm reading
though.
From NPR. I'm reading from...
NPR would never be spoofed.
They don't have a sense of humor.
Yeah, you're
Schmeet
right.
is their joke.
That's
Guardian
joke.
UK, Poverty Matters blog. This is an issue of Poverty, Robert. Leading scientists say meat grown in vats may be necessary to feed 9 billion people... expected
yes.
to be alive by middle of
the... I hear the nanny saying, meat. Really?
Yes. Wait a second. Others identify unexpected hindrances to producing more food. One of the gloomiest assessments comes from a team of British and South African economists who say that a vast effort must be made in agricultural research to create a new green revolution. Now, the green revolution occurred in America and Europe by virtue of taking dangerous, deadly pesticides... making monocrops of all the fields, destroying all local agriculture, and making sure that we all have to eat genetically modified corn and soy.
Some green revolution.
And stuffing that into cows, so now all animals are not only carcinogenic because they don't eat grain, everybody. They do not naturally eat grain, but now they have to eat genetically modified grain and soy and plastic and hay and plastic hay and wastewater. That's what they feed cattle in factory farming. Go look it up. So we need a new green revolution because the last one wasn't so great.
Wasn't so green either.
What we need to do is Schmeet, apparently. So there was a workshop right in September.
You're going too fast for me. I mean, this story, it should be at The Onion. Honestly.
I'm not making any of this
up. I know you're not. It's on NPR. I'm seeing it now. And look, they're taking little cells and sort of somehow replicating
them.
We're not even to that point.
Let's go to a meeting. Hey, right. It's the European Science Foundation, ESF, setting science agendas.
We got to have
an agenda. People always say, you're looking for a hidden agenda.
No.
Here it is.
Right out front? I want to hear about their agenda, but we need to take a break first. I need some Schmeet.
I'm going to go suck on the gas pipe.
You do that. I'll get some Schmeet. We'll be right back with more powerful healing and who knows what else on the Robert Scott Bell Show. 866-939-BELL is the number. 866-939-2355. Just like Ron did in Missouri. Even if you don't like what you're hearing, we want to hear from you. If you love it, even doubly pleasurable that you'd call. We'll be right back. Think about the stuff it's me from wonder.
Promise, Tiger. I promise. I'll tell the exchange.
You tell everybody. Listen to me, Hatcher. You gotta tell them. Silent Breed is people.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver Gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit SovereignSilver.com.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind, and yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today, or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com, and you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Back at you, ready to feed the world here on the Robert Scott Bell Show with something called Schmeet. At least that's what the NPR calls it. We're going through this. There was an agenda set at this. What was this group meeting?
Yes, right.
Schmeet Anonymous?
Schmeet Anonymous is...
The science...
Setting science agendas for Europe.
Serious stuff.
European Science Foundation, the ESF. Workshop detail, we just missed it. There'll probably be another one, but it was in September of this year. In vitro meat, possibilities and realities for an alternative future meat source. The concept of in vitro meat, also known as cultured meat or laboratory-grown meat, is not new. Yet not until the 1990s and the emergence of the tissue engineering field. Whoever put together in their head, tissue engineering field food. Tissue engineering field food. What kind of... Did in vitro meat become a conceivable reality?
We'll call it metro.
This is
really, again, I know it's serious.
It is.
We've looked at the veracity of this. NPR covered it. We're not making it up.
European Sounds Foundation. Hey, here's the Australian.com from a few years ago. Here they say, the Dutch government is sponsoring a $4 million project to cultivate pork meat from, where are they cultivating it from? That's a good question. Scientists at NASA have been experimenting with meat growing.
Meat growing. I mean, is that pigs? Grow pigs? You get pork? Hello? Is this somehow not the way it's being done now?
Let's think. Where are they cultivating it from? The idea may be stomach-turning, they say, but the science for making pork in a petri dish already exists. Put simply, the process relies on a muscle precursor cell known as a myoblast, a sort of stem cell.
Oh, so they're taking pig meat stem cells and then somehow stimulating them into production into this meat sheet.
How many generations of stem cells is it before they turn into...
Cancer?
Cancer, huh? A sort of stem cell pre-programmed to grow into muscle. This cell is extracted from a living animal.
Right.
And encouraged. You can do it.
Well, our problems are solved. We've got the world fed now.
To multiply in a nutritional broth of glucose, amino acids, minerals, and growth factors. Sounds perfectly natural. The cells are then poured onto a scaffold and placed in a bioreactor where they are stretched, possibly using electrical impulses, until they form muscle.
Well, they're going to need a lot of nuclear energy for this then.
The resulting flesh is then peeled off in a meat sheet.
Yep. That maybe there comes the meat sheet again.
I know what I'm going at out for next Halloween.
A meat sheet. Yeah, or it can be turned into wallpaper, I guess, too.
Those readers now choking on their morning fry-ups will be relieved to learn that it is not quite that easy. So we were just lying to you. For a start, not us, but them. The process is prohibitively costly.
Wait a second. They were going to feed the world. Now they admit it's prohibitively costly?
2 pounds of meat, and they actually put it in parentheses.
How much will it cost?
$12,000.
Not even 2 pounds of Kobe beef costs that.
Well, that's the low. That's the low end of the spectrum. You get to estimates of $1 million for a certain number of pounds of this stuff.
No, oh, but, that's yeah. We've got our problem solved now. World hunger is over.
It is over, according to the Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah, that last bastion of truth on planet Earth, Wikipedia.
Where information, of course, goes to die, the Wikipedia.
It disappears if it's correct.
try to edit this, by the way. Go online and try to edit the Wikipedia on in vitro meat. So they're saying that it's wonderful. They're saying that they've the Netherlands has announced they've managed to grow meat in a laboratory using the cells from a live pig. We're using stem cells. They're stimulating them with growth factors. Can you just say cancer three times? Can you just say it?
There's no place like cancer. There's no place like cancer. Cook those heels. There's no place like cancer.
Cancer,
Dorothy.
I'm loving it.
Yeah, of course, Rick Perry still hates cancer, but he'll probably come out for meat sheets.
Meat sheets, and you just
tell
have
me
to
the
make...
third part of government that he couldn't remember to eliminate.
Yeah, the best thing you can do with a meat sheet, though, is inoculate it ahead of time with HPV vaccines, because this is not a real food. This is something that you grow in a lab from blood cells, stem cells, myoblasts of animals that you can stimulate with.
Sound more like
hemagglutinin and all the stuff that you use to make cancer cells replicate in the lab.
Wow. It sounds more like vaccine production than meat production,
huh.
Doesn't it, to you?
Large-scale, it goes to Wikipedia, large-scale production, of written by the CIA, by the way, large-scale production of in vitro meat may require artificial growth hormones to be added to the culture for meat production. No problem there. No procedure has been presented to produce large-scale in vitro meat without the use of antibiotics to prevent bacterial infections. I thought this was free of bacteria. Then in the next paragraph,
yes.
Listen to this. The aim is to produce healthier meat than conventional meat, most notably by reducing its fat content and controlling nutrients. Researchers, have suggested that omega-3 fatty acids could be added to in vitro meat as a health bonus. You don't want to eat wild game, which is full of omega-3s. You don't want to eat wild fish. You don't want to eat wild rabbit. You don't want to eat wild cat. If you're of that persuasion, because they contain wild animals that eat grasses, and they contain high levels of omega-3 fatty acids. They always do, because that's the way we're built, ladies and gentlemen.
But if you can just add it, like in a syringe, wouldn't that be so much more simple?
Why don't we just take some styrofoam, spill some blood on it, but make sure it's genetically modified blood, and then get some fats? Okay. Although in vitro meat consists of natural meat cells, it does.
Where does the natural meat come from in this sense? What definition of natural they're using?
I don't know. Consumers may find such a high technology approach to food production distasteful. Oh, well, wait a second. But this is the Wikipedia. Remember, they're telling the truth. Environmental. This is all fact because it's on the Wikipedia. Some, I like that, some have speculated. Well, we're right there.
Are we the sum?
We're in the
sum. Are we the sum of all speculators?
that in vitro meat might, there's another one I love, require fewer resources and produce less greenhouse gas and other waste than conventional meat production. Wait a second. Are you saying that in vitro meat is an answer to global warming? They are. For every acre that is used for vertical farming...
Wait a second. Vertical farming.
Oh, my God.
A lot of strange things come to mind with vertical farming. I'm hoping it's kind of the stuff where that you plant upwards, right?
They're not emptying a building, and they're not putting green plants on every floor. They're not making green roofs. Vertical farming, I think, would be having an enclosed laboratory where breeders and sell...
Petri dishes
yeah. Enclosed...
on multiple levels of a building.
Neon lights... with guys in lab coats running around making sure that there's enough antibiotic in the thing so that it doesn't overgrow.
They call this vertical farming. That's vertical farming.
For every acre that is used for vertical farming,
got stuff growing up their behind. That's what the vertical farming is here going. I mean, these guys are nuts.
And or in vitro meat manufacturing, anywhere between 10 to 20 acres of land may be converted from a conventional agriculture usage back to its natural state.
Its natural state?
Robert,
to defoliate with Agent Orange at this point?
Robert, we can live in a pristine nature once we just give in to the inevitability, as the Russians said, of in vitro grown flesh.
All right, so we can grow all our food in buildings, in aseptic buildings with lights and antibiotics and petri dishes and lab techs and syringes, and we can obliterate all the houses and go back out and live in the jungle. But we can't eat the food there because we're getting the food now from the buildings we used to live in.
You cannot eat food that grows in the land. You should never eat rice or lentils. Clearly, eating rice and beans is only good for those Mexicans, and we don't want to be like
that. Oh, my God.
And the Ethiopians this and the Indians and the Native Americans and the Native Europeans who ate rye and barley and the Native Roman soldiers who, right? Roman rye, remember Roman meal? Rye is such a – it grows in the cold and it makes people so strong. Have you ever eaten rye? Have you ever eaten ground rye? You want some real energy?
Yeah.
No, we don't want to eat that. Mm. We want to eat – okay. But look, this is going to be great because the patent holder for in vitro meat, the journalist Brendan L. Kerner – Brendan L. Kerner, doesn't he write for Wired magazine? Well, he must know everything. Because doesn't Wired tell us how the future's going to go with robots ruling the world?
You mean he holds patent?
He's the patent holder, says the Wikipedia.
Wow. He's the guy writing it up, huh?
For in vitro meat. And Hannah Tuomitsu, a PhD student from Oxford University. PhD students,
look,
they never get
anything. $2,000 for 2 pounds of steak. Let's just feed it
to... $12,000.
$12,000? Oh, I'm sorry. $12,000 for a 2 pound steak. Let's just feed it to Bill. Oh, no, not him. How about the guy? Bill Gates. He can afford it.
We can feed everybody in Africa this way. You don't want to let them grow quinoa and millet and all the grains that grow naturally. They definitely don't want to grow millet, which grows natively there. You don't want to grow teff, which is the most high-protein grain ever. You don't want to grow that. You want to make them grow coffee so that we can have coffee, and then we can trade them sugar so they can get diabetes. That's the way we're doing this. But listen,
and you don't want to grow hemp.
No. Oh.
Hemp? No.
No. Come on. Stop it.
Oh, by the way, did you hear the latest Moonbeam Brown did?
No.
He basically blocked the California Industrial Hemp Farming Act from becoming law.
He has become a lizard person.
Total lizard person. These are the green people, the Democrats, or the green people?
I want to punch him right in the baby maker. I'm mad at him.
So get Bill O'Reilly to go over there and take him to the woodshed.
Yes. I don't know if he has a baby maker, but it's not my business. Maybe he does. Maybe he's growing in vitro meat.
Mm.
The patent holder says that this will be that this in vitro meat thing, which will cost millions of dollars. Why? To build why? To build the factories which produced the broilers, the petri dishes, the giant vats to control with the antibiotics, which are what? Come from petrochemical industry to feed with the growth hormones that come from what? The petrochemical and genetically modified food industry to feed with glucose that comes from what? Genetically modified corn to feed with proteins that come from what? Genetically modified soy. It's not good enough to eat non-GMO soy. It's not good enough to eat non-GMO corn. We have to now feed the byproducts of GMO things into breeders to make stem cells, i.e. in 6-12 generations, cancer cells, food for what? Soylent Green is people.
Hmm.
It is people.
This is a stunning story, but look, it's not too far afield when you abandon...
And this is not a joke.
No, and this is not a parody at all. This is not one of the fake interviews that Ron didn't like. This is a
Wikipedia
real story.
In vitro meat. The Australian, Guardian, European Science, whatever. Go look up in vitro meat, and you find the data.
If you're
They're
not
serious.
Driving, listen to your iPod or iPad right now. Raise your hand if you want meat sheets. If you find this appetizing, that you would abandon real food for this so-called super green food that is not green in any stretch of the imagination, except it's to make money for whoever holds patent here, whatever global industries could wipe out the rest of the family farmer in this context. This is not something that I would think is a serious, legitimate story, but we're covering it, and we should, and we have to, because there are a lot of people on this planet that have positions of power that are really pushing for the abandonment of nature in order to protect it, to destroy humanity in order to save the planet, for instance. We could feed the planet. We don't need fake meat made in a lab. As we said, eating lower on the food chain would provide the ability to feed everybody many times over, even as the population grows. But the agenda is not that. The agenda from the elites is to reduce global population because a smaller population is a malleable and controllable one.
Yeah, I was thinking about the difference between the good guys and the bad guys, because the bad guys are very committed to their work. They're very bright. They're studious. Many of them are very articulate, persuasive. So I'm thinking the difference. The difference is the bad guys come out of a place of terror. They're afraid that we won't. They're afraid that we won't be able to do this. They're afraid that we... So we have to either reduce the population or drug everybody against their will or make some sort of cannibalistic cancer food to stuff into people. The good guys go, look, I can't solve everything. Let's scale it down. Let's do our best. Let's join hands. Let's use the best capability that God gives us or the creator, whatever you think it is, gives us. Mm-hmm. The difference is that you don't come out of a place of terror when you make decisions.
Well, and this is, of course, another form of terrorism. Terrorism on the planet, terrorism on the people, terrorism on the food, by claiming that we can somehow Star Trek the food and expect it to sustain human and animal life appropriately. We cannot duplicate the majesty of creation. We could try, but man has failed miserably each time it tries to out-create creation.
Jim, I'm a doctor, not a butcher.
Yeah, well, we'll be back and find out what you really are after this on the Robert Scott Bell Show, 866-939-BELL. All the notes are up, including the link to these stories we've just covered here, if you want to see for yourself that they're for real. And when you do, you can call us and go, well, you guys were for real. You weren't joking. And when it comes to food, we never joke about food. All right, more healing to go on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Stay with us.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Robert Scott Bell, and I want to tell you about my great friends at Enterfood.com. Like me, the folks at Enterfood are fighting the good fight for your total health freedom. Their super green energy drink, Enterfood, is full of natural ingredients like spirulina and chlorella, which can improve your immune system and detox you from harmful radiation. Enterfood was voted best superfood by Mike Adams and the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. Enterfood.com is one-stop shopping for all your health and survival needs. Try their meal replacement product for those watching their weight. Organic immune support coffee, cocoa, coconut milk powder, and herbal tinctures for your every need. Enterfood.com now has developed a new survival preparedness pail packed with all organic, tasty, non-GMO foods to get you and your family through any disaster. All of these great products are now available to you for a 10% discount when you mention the Robert Scott Bell Show. Call them to order at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to our product page at Enterfood.com. That's Enerfood.com.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
You ever wonder about the motivation of all these scientists who say they want to feed the world? And then you hear a story about that which we covered in the last couple of segments about they created in a test tube. That's not to feed the world. That's to create, you know, make money off of patents and then destroy farmland and make people your, you know, Schmidt slaves or something. I mean, this is really a horrific thing that's moving forward. Not a good thing. Not something that would actually genuinely benefit mankind. But then we've been duped for how many centuries over the course of the elitist view that we all lack synthetic toxic chemicals, we all lack the vaccines that are injected into our, you know, onto our arms, and somehow that modern man can save us from the natural world, from creation itself, despite the fact that we are creation itself. Oh man, sometimes we need people to kind of put some sense to all of this. I'm sorry that Liam left. He's usually pretty good at that.
I'm too sexy.
What is that,
love?
Don, are you playing? Are you playing that?
I was going.
I don't know what that is, or I don't know where that's coming from.
Who's coming in
Did
now?
Did somebody say Schmidt?
That's the fake meat. Who are you? You sound vaguely familiar.
Oh, hello.
Yes?
Mm.
Is this Bruno?
Ah, hello, Robert.
I haven't heard from you in a while, Bruno.
Hi, Liebling. Das ist der berühmt Robert. What? It's good to see you, Schatzi.
Nice to see you, Bruno. What brings you back to the Niedlich. Robert Scott Bell Show?
Mm? Das ist perfect what you talked about, Schmidt. I would love to get some Schmidt.
I don't think it sounds that appealing. I mean, aren't you somebody...
Eine kleine Stück Schmidt, bitte.
It didn't sound very German. It wasn't schnitzel, understand? It wasn't schnitzel.
No, it's not.
It was sheets of meat created in a lab.
You're exciting me.
This should not be exciting. This is horrifying.
For who?
For anybody that wants to eat well and thrive on good food.
Listen, Robert, I think you're missing the cosmetic applications of the Schmidt.
Well, I did mention it as wallpaper. Is that what you mean? Cosmetic applications?
Oh, you're so innocent. You're so innocent. You Americans, always thinking inside the box. Bruno thinks outside.
Yeah, for sure. Very far outside. I don't
fruit
think the box.
Bar.
I don't think that the fruit box exists for you.
Nein, not fruit box. Listen, anyway, I'm opening a club on Mannheim Straußenhöfenwarten, and it's going to be called the Fruit Box. I don't know. We're going to have a whole Schmidt tonight.
I have a feeling there are going to be a lot of flies hanging around that place.
If that's what you're into.
No, that's not what I think. You know, what we're trying to do, honestly, is provide healthy nutrition for the world and not coming from, you know, a synthetic chemistry lab. I mean, these are things that, you know, you go in, you learn about in high school chemistry, you blow up, a little test tube and wow, look what we did. But you don't make that into food.
I don't know what you terrorist Americans did in high school. That was not what Bruno was doing. I was hanging out with all my friends. We were glücklich. Ja, my Liebling Freunde. They were all berühmt now.
I don't know what you just said. Wasn't it last time that you were here, you were working with L'Oreal or something? What was the...
Yes. I think I'm going to make a Schmidt collection. Hello, this is the Winter Schmidt collection. This is Bruno, wearing the Schmidt sandals with the Schmidt faux fox overcoat. This is my friend Rolf. He has Schmidt. We're going to inject it into him. We want him to become big like Arnold.
Bruno, let me ask you a serious question about this. Because many people in the fashion industry are very upset about... the fur, right? For meat products or animal products.
Oh, it's very evil.
Right, because this
I wear it all the time.
But this is technically an animal byproduct, is it not? I mean, they're taking stem cells out of pigs to make this. I mean, this doesn't sound like something, I mean, you know.
Schmidt is murder.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I was surprised that you took to this.
Well, you know, I kind of roll with the flow. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter to me what's happening. I figure it'll all come around again. It will all end up in heaven.
Somehow, I don't know how, Bruno, but you reminded me of the old parable of the giant utensils of heaven and hell.
Yes.
You know that story?
Nein, go ahead.
Don't know about that story?
Spiel. Spiel es, Robert.
Yes. Well,
Spiel.
This is the story of a man who's given an option whether he wants to go to heaven or hell, and he goes to hell and sees this, you know, massive buffet, basically, of all the food.
With Schmidt.
I'd probably Schmidt there for all I know. That's where it would belong, but ice cream. So whatever you wanted to eat, you know. But there were only these humongous, giant utensils, and... everybody looked so gaunt and hungry. They couldn't eat. They couldn't pick up the utensils, whatever. And in heaven, they had the same thing there, except that the giant utensils, in other words, what was happening in heaven was that the people were lifting the utensils and feeding each other, right? And so they were actually pleasantly fed, if you will.
Oh, they were having an orgy in heaven.
No, food, if you will, but they were nourishing each other. I mean, it was a concept of helping one another.
I went to a party like that. We all fed each other. We had spoons, but it wasn't food. It was a white powder. I can't remember the name. Anyway, Robert, I've got to go.
It's time to fly. All right, Bruno. Thanks for dropping by.
Remember, the Bruno Collection, Tragen Schmidt. Schmidt is murder. We're going to wear it all over.
Thank you once again, Bruno. Can we get Liam back in there? Liam, next time you take a break like that, please warn me before we...
Hey Bruno. Looking good.
I normally would like to know about a guest like that beforehand.
Oh, he just burst in.
He just does sometimes.
He bursts out sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. So, anyway, but I mean, you know, serious issue about feeding the world. it's one thing to do it cooperatively based on the natural world, grow your food. I mean, I'm really, really concerned about these so-called lab monkeys out there thinking that they can take stem cells from animals and then just make these sheets of food. I know we've sort of belabored the issue.
Yeah.
But I really, there are people on this planet that have invested, if not millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions into the potential to make this profitable venture.
Right. And they're telling, by the way, his German was very strange. I mean, I speak a little, but I don't know what he was saying.
It was weaving in and out of something only Bruno can speak
I
and
guess
understand.
It's Bruno.
If anybody wants to translate, call us up, let us
know. Right. Right, they're investing, and they're actually calling for money to be invested right now. And they're saying that it's going to be incredibly expensive to make this a product. At the same time, they're lying, even on the Wikipedia, which never tells the truth, whichever. Right. Again, where information goes to die. So the Wikipedia is promoting this as a great environmental cure-all. In fact, it's utopian. I always am afraid when people promise me utopias. Like when somebody tells me they have a philosophy that encompasses all eventualities and they know exactly how life works. I go, you know probably very, very, very little, in fact. You know, you've grabbed onto one thing. So these people have a philosophy. They think they know how life works. They think it's going to end for all of us because we are going to breed too much and therefore we have to eat in vitro cancer food. So they know that. That's their answer. And they're going to look for investments and maybe the Gates Foundation and the Buffett Foundation and the John D. Rockefeller Foundation and all these foundations will put money into, I guess, I mean, what did NPR call it? Schmied.
Schmied, yeah.
Right. Schmied. So, but let's call it what it is. Cancer.
It's cancer. I mean, basically, they're growing cancer in a lab, and then they're going to say, somehow we'll feed it to you after we could inject omega-3 essential fats into it.
Right.
Right?
Right. Cold cancer. Like cold cuts?
Yeah.
Cancer cuts.
Cold cancer. You know, enough cut, burn, and poison. They're going to literally create more of the same problem.
Because, if I can say this, their real goal is not to feed everybody. Their real goal, whether they understand it or not, is to kill a lot of people. That's their actual goal. I'm not saying they're conscious of it or even conscientious about it. Their real goal, that's why they want to inject so many children with heavy metals and pesticides and pollutants and toxins. That's why doctors don't care about toxicology. They don't really want to help people get better. Unfortunately, there's something sinister in that Western model that just wants to manage people to death, manage them to death. That's the whole AIDS thing. In fact, I won't do it now. It's too gross and too bloody, but maybe this week we can get into – there's a whole new AIDS drug scandal where they're
– In fact, yes, I think we do need to cover that.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll deal with that in the next day or so. And, you know, by the way, when you talk about Wikipedia, people should know that the study we've referenced and you've referenced over the years, Nancy Padian.
Yeah, Padian.
Padian. I always can't say it right.
It's all right.
She,
she can't say much right either.
That's right. And she conducted the longest study known as far as the, you know, so-called seroconversions of HIV-negative to HIV-positive discordant couples. We've talked about,
she
right?
They claim to study sexual transmission of HIV.
Yeah.
And in studying this, they took, here we go, 175 couples. That's 350 people. Did I get that right? 350 people.
Yeah.
One person in each couple. These people came in as couples. They were holding hands when they walked in the door. They'd done much more than hold hands. They were couples. They were sexually active couples. In each couple, one person tested HIV positive. Now, if you think that means they were infected with HIV, you have another think.
You haven't been listening to this show long enough.
Right. And you haven't read any HIV package inserts, HIV test package inserts. But anyway, that was the idea. One person's positive, one person's negative. So they go at it and they let them click ankles together for as long as they can. And you know what I'm saying. Yes, be sexually active with each other in every possible way. And I mean every possible
and
way.
The number of conversions in the study, by the end of the study, that they did over the years that it equaled to, I don't know how many decades.
Out of 175 people that could have converted over 6 years, they had exactly zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
Now, why I bring it up in context, because I know we're not going further into this subject now.
Maybe the next day.
But it was because of Wikipedia, right? This is a major study.
This is the major study.
Can you find it on Wikipedia?
It does not exist on Wikipedia.
Oh, my goodness.
Nancy Padian is there.
She's there, but her study is not referenced.
Her study is not referenced. What you see instead is a note that the AIDS denialist used Nancy Padian's research to, I guess, bring to light the fact that the AIDS mainstream is entirely full of schmeat.
Yeah, there you. Well done. Well said. We can say that. Listen, having said that, we've got a whole other hour of healing to go on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Lots more to do, and I appreciate everybody being here. And, of course, yes, a little bit of irreverence on tap. If you don't like the irreverent part, just turn off the show, turn it back on. We'll let you know when to turn the show back on. It's safe for you, okay? You just keep paying attention.
You'll be okay.
You'll be all right.
We believe in you.
We do. We do. Thank you for being here. And all I can say for the moment, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. But in the meantime, the power to heal is yours.
Robert Scott
the
Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
It's my life, and it's now or never. 'Cause I ain't gonna live forever. I just wanna live when I'm alive. It's my life. My heart is like an open highway. But Frankie said I'm dead.
Welcome to the Robert Scott Bell Show. If you would like to participate, you can call Robert at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL. And now, it's time to
wake up!
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott the Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Things really suck, but you know what? If it wasn't for me, they would suck worse.
What are you talking about? What do you mean by that?
Robert Scott Bell.
No family making less than $250,000 a year will see any form of tax increase.
That's a lie. That's just an outright lie.
Why don't you tell the people the truth for a change?
Robert Scott
Robert
Bell.
Scott Bell.
I don't know why people on the other side are so doggone stupid that they think that the federal government's going to produce jobs.
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
I want to see that we guarantee that this generation is healthier.
You don't want to go to a naturopath or a homeopath? No, no, no. That's not approved by the government.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Continuing on now on the Robert Scott Bell Show, our conversation with my good friend, contributor, conflagulator, contributor. Yes, whatever he is, his name is Liam Sheffinator. Welcome back to the Robert Scott Bell Show. We're having some irreverent fun today. We can't help it. We've got to have fun.
Take that, Ron.
While we do this. What?
Take that, Ron.
Yeah. No, we love Ron. He cared enough to call and say, hey, I didn't like the O'Reilly interview. That's okay.
Take that, pal.
Okay. You know, our friends, they love us enough to tell us that, hey, man,
that
I don't want so much funniness.
Yeah. They love us enough to tell us that they hate us.
They do not. Come on. You know, I say it again and again and again.
We're
all
kidding.
The old ladies that throw tomatoes at me, they made me who I am today.
An Italian
I don't like
chef.
Tomatoes.
Oh.
No.
A pasta chef.
Hey, listen, I got an email coming through the website at robertscottbell.com, and it was about this new video that we posted up at naturalnews.tv. In fact, I didn't post it. Dr. Ward Bond, a good guy. He's out there in Houston, Texas. I flew out there last month, recorded some interviews with him for his TV show, and we did a 15-minute segment on the danger of vaccinations, HPV shots, flu shots, hepatitis shots, all of that stuff. And I got a message from Andrea. She writes to me, hi, I recently watched a video with you through naturalnews.tv. If you could possibly forward me any information on how to get my son into kindergarten without vaccinating him in California, I would be so grateful. Thank you. So what is my message to Linda? No, it's wait, not Linda. It's Andrea. What was my message to Andrea? Move out of California now. Governor Brown wants your child, and they will not ask permission.
And yeah, he wants him to work the hemp farm. No, he doesn't
no,
want him to work the hemp
farm.
No, he just
banned the, continue to ban
Can
hemp.
Can you imagine that?
It's amazing.
Can you imagine that something that doesn't contain any tetrahydrocannabinol, that is not a drug that can be used to replace, that can be used to feed children essential fatty acids, is illegal in Governor Moonbeam? The lizard people have taken over Jerry Brown. But what, I mean, people can't just leave California en masse if they have kids
No,
there.
I know. We talked about that. Remember we had Victor, the insulting dog. He moved in because Governor Brown said there was a special exemption for animals, dogs, right?
He was happy.
He was very thrilled, but the humans were not. But this is a case in point where you want to get your kid into kindergarten. The kindergartens are basically controlled and run and operated by the state, even right. if they're semi-private. And they say, well, if you're going to let a kid in there, they're going to have to be vaccinated. They never tell you that you have an exemption, many possible exemptions. I don't have the California state statutes in front of me. But if you go to vaclib.com.
What's that website again, Robert?
Well, let me make sure it's correct before I tell you the wrong thing. Vaccine Liberation homepage, which is vaclib.org. I always screw that up. Why do I do that?
I don't know.
Yeah, the Vaccine Liberation homepage, because there's vactruth.com. That's why I do that. There's so many vaccine websites in my head, Liam. I don't know how they got there. I do know how they got there from reading them all.
I know. That's how I always end up on penthouse.com. I always think I'm going to penthouse.org, which is a...
Is a what?
What?
It's for Victor, right?
Continue.
It's for dogs. All right. Vaclib.org. Vaclib.org. And the reason why I like that, and there are other sites. The National Vaccine Information Center has a good site as well. But Vaclib.org is a great site. Just right to the point, goes to the exemption page for every state. And it goes right based on the statutes of each state. So I will urge you, Andrea, to go to vaclib.org, check it out. And I know, my listeners, you know out there, there are plenty of others. If you got your favorite, by all means, send it through. We'll put them up there, post it in the notes, whatever you like. 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. By the way, it's not, you know, it's not just... you know, a call we get that didn't like some of the comedy bits and the interviews and such. A lot of the Facebook friends have been really, I mean, somebody actually made a YouTube out of
we
that
had
one,
a
right?
Fan posting. Somebody liked that. Take that, Ron. Somebody liked the O'Reilly thing so much, they yeah. made a fan. We actually had a fan posting. By yeah. the way, I want to encourage people, you can download the show, right?
Yep.
We got hundreds of thousands of downloads.
Yes, it's incredible what's going on, and a thank you everybody out there for spreading the word. It is growing organically, but very rapidly, month over month. I've just been blown away, as Mike Adams has been blown away by the reception to the United States and World of Health Talk Radio, as it's known, the Robert Scott Bell Show here. And we knew, and I've known for years, what I've been doing is pretty much, I guess, renegade radio to some degree, far ahead of itself. But this is the audience that was ready. This was the one that said, yes, I embrace it, and we're going to tell everybody about it. And that's, you know, it's a yeah, thrill.
And Mike made it so easy. It's a very easy player. I mean, you hit a click, you click a button, it's there. The mm-hmm. archives are all there. They go up really fast. It's nice. But somebody, a fan, Ben, I don't know if we should yep. give his whole name, but
Ben Vidal Sassoon.
Is that his?
I don't know if he's related.
I don't think Vidal is in there, but unless he's related to Al Gore. Anyway,
yes.
any hoozles. He posted a fan video. He liked the Bill O'Reilly thing when you had the guest Bill O'Reilly in here.
Mm, mean guy.
So much. He clipped it out and posted it on YouTube, which we want to encourage people to do. Actually, if you like something you hear, take a 10-minute or an 11-minute or even a 12-minute clip.
Yeah.
Go up to 15 if you feel daring. And put a picture of the show with Robert's name on it or whoever the guest is. If it's me, if it's Chris Barr, it doesn't matter. Find the appropriate picture. Just put it up. You don't have to do any special animation. Use your Windows Media Player. Just very simple stuff. And post it and send it to your friends, because people love the YouTube. That's where they get most of their news these days.
As well they should. As well they should. You know, whether it be from Comedy Central or Jerry Doyle. Hats off to Jerry Doyle. He had me on the program yesterday again. We had a great time discussing the cholesterol for kids. Well, they want to do cholesterol testing for kids. And we talked about that, as well as the new drug for fat. Did you hear about this one? You know, another new drug. This one's for weight loss. This Renata Pasqualini, a researcher at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, told the Houston Chronicle on Thursday that they're incredibly pleased with the results of this new test. They tested on rhesus monkeys. The monkeys lost an average of 11% of their body weight after just 4 weeks on the experimental drug. Now, what does the drug do? Well, they think it's good for humans because it's going to target the blood vessels that feed your fat cells. You're thinking, oh, man, that's awesome. Basically, this tiny little amino acid that they've isolated and somehow synthesized effectively kills the blood vessels, effectively strangling the fat cells. Can you think of any unintended consequences that might be problematic here, Liam. I went on the Jerry Doyle show and I spelled them out pretty emphatically.
Yeah, it's like a slow internal amputation. It's very strange. All the diseases that are caused by degradation of fat, you have myelin sheath degradation and multiple sclerosis type illnesses. You have all of the illnesses that are called autoimmune diseases, which are really inflammatory diseases. And of course, you like to point out that that little bit of mushy stuff in between your ears is made of...
Fat. A lot of cholesterol. A lot of fat. And, you know, if they call you a fat head, just like Udo Rasmus said, take it as a compliment.
Hey, they should redo that commercial. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs, but it should be about this drug.
Yeah. This is your popping like popcorn. Your fat cells are dying.
Why would you eat something that was essentially a little terrorist cell, put it into your body? You know, I remember when I was a lot younger and I'd sort of listen like, oh, okay, I guess that sounds interesting. You can eat something and instead of digesting any of it, it just flies through your body and into the toilet. Okay.
Wait. That was Olestra. Remember the fake fat?
Yeah.
And they talked about the planet Uranus was leaking if you ate this stuff. Oh, horrible stuff. But, you know, this is an idea of like, well, if you don't absorb the fat, you won't get fat. Fat doesn't make you fat.
Well, I mean, look, if you eat nothing but fat, especially if you eat hydrogenated oil, you'll get a little puffy.
Yeah.
But the good thing about eating good fats is they fill you up pretty quickly. You really don't need to eat very much. I mean, unless you're eating not because you're if you're not eating because you're hungry, if you're eating to satisfy some emotional variety of needs or psychological needs, it doesn't matter how healthy you eat or what you're eating, you can gain weight. But if you're eating to satisfy hunger, to satisfy the five tastes in the Chinese medicine wheel, you've got five tastes, sweet, sour, salty, pungent, and bitter. And if you're eating to satisfy
and
your
ketchup.
Cells.
And ketchup.
Which is sweet, sour, and that's not pungent, but it's savory.
Well, if you let it ferment.
It's got garlic in it, an onion. Ketchup always has garlic and onion in it. I mean, it's really just it's sort of a poor man's tomato sauce, and they put sugar in it, unfortunately.
Yeah, of course, lots of sugar. Or if you're not eating the organic variety, corn syrup.
Corn syrup. Yeah, I saw one made with agave syrup, and I thought that was better. I wish they'd make ketchup with almost no sweetener at all, because I just like tomato sauce, but...
Mm-hmm.
That's the old Czech in me.
Very nice.
Czechs and their pasta.
Yeah.
Or
well,
is that the Italian?
Also, on Jerry Doyle yesterday.
He was killing the Ron Paul thing.
He's been nailing it ever since Bill O'Reilly erased Ron Paul from, anything.
I think that was the other Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah,
Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly. Oh, right. That guy. Yeah. And he said now everybody's pulling a Bill O'Reilly. And he nailed Fox News again on this because Fox News actually came out in favor of Ron Paul after the 89-second debacle. They said, hey, they should include Ron Paul. They were upset. They said, look at these the liberal media elites eliminating Ron Paul. And their own network had done the same thing, and they didn't point it out. So O'Reilly nailed them on that too. And
I left Fox News because nobody on Fox News watches Fox News. So like every, like every show can be something different. They can say, they can contradict exactly what came before. They can say the same thing without realizing somebody just said it. Like NPR has marching orders, you figure they get the top-down marching orders, but people come on Fox News and you're like, what did he just say? What did Napolitano just say?
Amazing.
So I get a kick out of it. Hey, I got a letter. I don't know if this is of interest.
We were talking about this off the air. Klug shared. Was her name?
Yeah, I got. It's an email I got, and after the indecent proposal that she sent, Cheryl.
Oh, did she really?
No.
Okay.
No, Cheryl sent me an indecent proposal. I got. I'm
was there
kidding.
Money involved?
No.
Because in the movies, there was a lot of money.
I know. Do I look like Demi Moore at 25?
Yeah, but O'Reilly thought everything was the movie.
I know. My God, we're spinning out of control today. Grab the controls, Captain.
Yes.
I cannot bring her into space dock. Cheryl, a woman called Cheryl Klug, I assume very nice woman, wrote me and said, I'm not sure if you've heard of German New Medicine, German Neue Arzt. But I've been reading about and hearing of it for several years. So she tells me that in 1995, Gerald Geisen of Princeton University published his book, The Private Science of Louis Pasteur. And she goes into how Pasteur was a fraud based on fraudulent research.
We agree with that.
Yeah, stealing from people, and he talks about the, she talks about the idea that viruses are always blamed for illnesses, but viruses, like the bacteria that we have in our body, mostly are what? Our friends. They're engineers within cells. They're text messages going from cell to cell, to quote Janine Roberts. And this is a fascinating idea. We want to have time
to get
into
it. By the way, Janine Roberts, Fear of the Invisible, the book. I recommend that highly.
Great book.
Yeah.
So the idea that we've got to inject people because of viruses, we don't know what viruses are. Viruses are probably things that bud out of cells. They carry messages. That's why you can't kill them. They're not really alive. They're probably kind of digital messages going around your body. And when we encounter a group of people or animals that we've never, ever experienced before, yes, there is a period of contagion. There's generally a period of die-off, and then everybody gets used to each other.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk more about this German new medicine, the concepts behind it. We're not, Liam and I are not experts in it. I've talked with Dr. Carolyn Dean, my dear friend, who's a medical doctor and naturopath, about it as well, and she loves it. And there are a lot of great concepts in it that we want to acknowledge as well. If you have any questions or comments about this or anything, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. Of course, robertscottbell.com for all the show notes. Blast you out over also to Liam Sheff's site at liamsheff.com. And the naturalnewsradio.com, where most of you are listening right now. Please sign up for email alerts, and we'll get your daily updates so you can see through the news as well like we do. And in addition, say thanks to Prepper Podcast Network, who's been ramping up their awareness through the Robert Scott Bell Show as well to their network at prepperpodcast.com. We appreciate all of the good words out there, and even those that say, hey, what are you guys talking about? We'll talk about that too. All right, here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, more after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Talking with Liam Sheff this hour again on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We were talking a little bit about German new medicine. What is that all about? It's interesting because, Liam, what I remember in talking with Dr. Carolyn Dean was about the emotional underpinnings of so many ailments and diseases. Instead of, as you described, going before the break there, looking at a virus, a bacteria, and a fungus as our enemy, recognizing that they obviously play a vital role, as we've talked about here with the law of the terrain, Pasteur versus Bechamel, that kind of thing. But going one step further and talking about the expression of the physiology as deeper emotional concerns, deep-seated fears, whatever it is, playing itself out and manifesting as, hey, that's my ailment. That's my physiological ailment. Could it be that simple?
There is a fungus among us.
And what will that fungus relate to emotionally?
the emotional relationship of the fungus to the diploid inverse character would necessitate another inverse injection of an ibuprofen-type substrate into your flaccal-muccalicles.
That has moved the debate so much further, I think we can leave this subject altogether.
I remember years ago, thank you, Professor Nerdadork.
Yes.
I remember years ago when I was trying to figure out what the whole AIDS thing was all about, and I realized that, you know, AIDS is a million diseases. I didn't realize, other people pointed that out, but I realized that AIDS was any name you gave to anybody with any kind of illness if they were in a specific group. So I was trying to figure out what they were talking about, because I knew that there was a problem with the HIV concept. I knew that they didn't have one thing there. You could tell just by looking at the tests and all the things that came up positive for. But sometimes they would chase ghosts, you know, in the labs, and they would sort of like, oh, this cell buds something out. Does it do anything? No, it doesn't hurt T cells. Doesn't make people sick. What is it? You follow that down, you get into the world of human endogenous retroviruses or exosomes or all these other names they have for these retroviral-like particles. And Janine Roberts came up, author of Fear of the Invisible, came up with a wonderful descriptor for these. She calls them text messages. That's why the gene codes are always different. Now, AIDS specialists, who are some of the most retarding people on the planet. They spend more money to become stupid than almost anybody ever in the history of humanity.
Well said.
Thank you. But they do. And I'm thinking of this interaction I had with this last guy who wrote me from University of Michigan. Oh, I study this all day. We're always studying the gene course. Well, they do PCR and they always come up with something different. And instead of going, gosh, the cell keeps spitting out different things, we must be activating some different part of its genome, they say HIV is mutating wildly. Well, no, it's not. They just keep making cells barf out different parts of its genetic core through reverse transcription. So what happens when cells deregulate or they have a problem is that they spit out, they bud out little particles. And we used to call those viruses. But they're not viruses. Virus comes from the Latin. It means poison. And it didn't even mean a particle. They just meant the liquid that would come out of somebody who was like so had some ulcerating wound, and they would call that the virus. It meant it was the poison liquid. But then they decided, well, okay, it's actually some sub-bacterial tiny particle, nanometer-type particle within the liquid. Lo and behold, if you look in the liquid and you get beyond the bacteria, smaller level, you find little budding particles. They don't really make people sick.
They find them in the area of illness, so to speak. Or, well, this person's ill, so we find stuff, that must be the cause. Even though firemen don't cause the fire, even though you find a lot of firemen at fires.
Firemen are causing fires. Today on the Robert Scott Bell Show, no, firemen don't cause fires. They're there at the fires, and these little things are there at the source of illness. So I remember talking with, was it Luc Montagnier? No, I did not talk with Luc Montagnier. I talked with Etienne de Harvin years ago. And Etienne was, like Luc Montagnier, a cancer retrovirologist. So he was looking at all these leukemias, these tumor cells. And I would talk, and I talked with him. He's really, really super nice guy, and he's on the board of Rethinking AIDS. And he did a great paper, I think, called "Le VIH c'est pas la cause de SIDA." In other words, HIV is not the cause of AIDS. And he goes through all of the historical tumor viruses and says, in the end, yeah, you can purify a bunch of identical little particles. You can't do this with HIV, by the way, because it's not one thing. But with like a leukemia, a Rouse tumor virus, or any of these tumor viruses, you can isolate or purify a whole substrate, a whole cell full of, like a photographic cell full of these things with the electron microscope. You can see them. They're all very, 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 very similar and all the same size, and they all look the same. And I said, do you think they were the cause of the illness? He knew where I was going. He said, yes, in the beginning, we thought they were the cause of the illness, but now I think they were an effect of the illness. I think they were a secondary effect of the deregulation of the cells. So what we call viruses, what we think of viruses, come about because the body is deregulated.
Deregulated, detoxifying, right?
Detoxifying.
Yeah, toxicological assault, as we've talked about in terms of the law of the terrain. You mentioned SARS.
When we were reading off air.
Let's bring that up, because would she write about that SARS would be something related to fear?
Well, German new medicine. Look, I can't go with it 100% because it's just the kind of guy I am. Their thing, apparently, reading from her email, which I've closed, unfortunately, I don't have it in front of me anymore, is that all of these things are the result of what she was describing, mostly an emotional, one-time great emotional stress.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think that that's necessarily the case. But, I mean, like, for example, I don't think rabies comes about because you wanted to run away from the dog but couldn't. I mean, rabies is an illness that animals get. It really is. So they'll say that rabies is an illness that that people get from animals when they can't run away, and it's an emotional thing. I say, no, you can definitely transmit problems from person to bacteria, toxicological problems, or even microbial problems if they're so foreign and alien to us that our body isn't even used to having that conversation.
Well, remember also the bypassing of the normal layers of the immune system as well. A dog bites you, right?
So
it delivers things into places that don't have a normal defense mechanism against things being there, right?
Groovy
normal
boo.
Transition, yes. Groovy. And so you have that part of it to consider. Now, in the case of SARS...
That was a strange dog, Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, it was very strange.
Was he on something?
The Scrappy-Doo, right? The little guy after
I think
that?
Scooby was on psychedelics, now that I think of it.
It was a total slight. Did they see the van, the Scooby van? Right? The Scooby gang. Anyway.
And they kept seeing like a disembodied ghost, and the dog talked.
Nobody
noticed that.
He loved Scooby snacks or anything else they threw his way.
Oh, THC. He was a cannabinoid. All right, go on.
They were always hungry. Did you notice that?
Yes.
Well, all right. Increase your appetite. We know how to have that happen. So
tetrahydrocannabinol.
Yes. So if we go back to the SARS issue, right? If there's a perspective that SARS, the virus, is because of the emotion, well, listen, there was no real SARS in terms of a virus. We've already gone through this many times on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Now, does that mean there was no emotional thing? Well, I'm not saying that necessarily, but there was clearly toxicological threats in the area of the Amoy Gardens apartment outside of Hong Kong, where a lot of it started. There were pollutions in Hong Kong. There were pollutions in other major cities that created this. And then there was a fear and basically an irrational fear about this spreading throughout the world. I remember I traveled to Thailand for an international holistic medical conference at the time, traveled through Hong Kong, and everybody's wearing masks.
Right.
And they were shooting everybody's forehead as you got off the plane. If you had an elevated temperature, they were going to put you into quarantine. Didn't matter the reason why. But, of course, this is the germ theory, again, run amok. People afraid because the CDC and the World Health Organization, all these pharmaceutical fronts, have convinced the world that a fever means you're going to kill everybody when it's really just your body's appropriate response to deal with an imbalance and it's trying to rebalance.
Oh, a fever is a great thing. I mean, a fever is going to, your body's going to elevate the temperature, increase metabolism, increase blood circulation, lymphatic circulation, and you're going to kill any of the bad bacteria that your body doesn't want to have around. Mm. I'm not talking about 106 degree fever, of course, something that you need to cold water baths for or other remedies.
Yes.
But right, so when I was in Southeast Asia, it was the same thing. I think they had moved from make-believe SARS to make-believe bird flu.
Ah, and that's when they were culling all the birds, slaughtering everybody.
Yeah.
And this was, of course, for the international bird growers. They didn't like the fact that in Southeast Asia, they didn't have control of the bird population, and most chickens were grown everywhere.
Right.
Backyards, nobody was buying chickens en masse, so the market was not good until we can go in with an excuse and have the government, you know, basically napalm the entire countries or the countries of Southeast Asia and wipe out bird populations, and now people couldn't grow their own food because they wiped it all out.
Right. Isn't and that's it? The purpose. I mean, that's all the New World Order stuff.
And that's the stuff you don't hear in the old media.
And you end up having to discuss whether the virus is deadly or latent or it has a 5-year or 600-year latency period, and they get the experts on. And even, you know, Brad Pitt got sucked into it, and he narrated something for, it was called Prescription for Something, RX for like whatever, pandemic fear.
I remember how they were stretching these stories of people, you know, sleeping with chickens? I mean, I don't mean like having sex with them. I'm just
sleeping in and around chickens.
Yeah, and that somehow that was, and people have been doing that for thousands of years too, out in these rural areas where the chickens would run in and out of the houses. And
sounds like a Muppet movie.
Yeah.
Sleeping with chickens.
Well, let's talk to Miss Piggy about that.
They're coming out with another one. I don't
That's
know if
right.
It's going
to be any good.
I'm looking
forward to that. I hope so.
Right. So human beings have lived with animals for a long time. Humans in Europe did get sick, I think, as a result of coming into contact with the animals. And we had various poxes, and that was a real problem. Fleas came, the story is, from somewhere in the Middle East on the back of rats or whatever, and half of Europe died. You know, when a pandemic is coming, you not only do you not get a warning, but it happens. You know, people don't get little colds.
Mm-hmm.
Pandemics historically are when people die. and there's nothing anybody can do. And they've been so rare in the history of humanity. You're talking about the Middle Ages, when two different parts of the world came in massive contact with each other, the Levant, the Middle East, the Near East, and Europe, mainland Europe. And they came into pressing contact through the Crusades and other events. And so a lot of people got sick. Well, then it happened again in the Americas when the Europeans, who were now all used to the viruses, bacteria, whatever, from their animal friends, came over, and the Indians didn't know anything about it, and they died. A lot of them died. We're not really in that situation anymore. We're all used to animals. We're all used to international travel. We're more or less used to each other. I don't think this fear is well placed anymore. Certainly, if you understand viruses, we shouldn't try to kill them by killing people's immune systems. We should probably just strengthen the body with old world grandmother's kinds of hot soup medications. You know, these kinds of things actually work. Strengthen the immune system. Give yourself a fighting chance.
Yeah, and then we come back to the toxicological issues. There's a story here out of Yahoo News through Health Day. Exposure to toxic solvents linked to Parkinson's disease. Here we go again. Neurological disorders not caused by viruses, not caused by, I don't know, bacteria or even
prions.
Yeast, right? But you may indeed find in a Parkinson's patient loaded with these toxic solvents high levels of all kinds of microbial burdens. So again, the fireman at the scene of the fire, is it the reason? Is the fireman that caused the fire, right? That's what we need to go into. And we're going to do that next on the Robert Scott Bell Show, going places where the old media would hurt themselves if they tried, but we would be there with some arnica to mend them, because that's just the kind of guys we are. Or maybe I am. Liam might, he's shaking his
Me?
Head. You gonna
no,
be there? You gonna help him
I'd
out?
I'd help him out.
You'll help him out?
I'd kick him twice.
Kick him twice. Then I'd have, okay. You make my make him work harder for me. All right. Here we go. Lots more healing to go on the Robert Scott Bell Show. 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355, robertscottbell.com. Check out all the notes, and we'll be back with a toxicological explanation to Parkinson's disease and more after this.
Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only 5-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my 5-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us. 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's One World, W-H-E-Y.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the greatest show on earth.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Alive, it's alive, it's alive!
The masked man who outsmarted you and your gang is none other than
Robert Scott Bell.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
Robert Scott Bell.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Is it all an emotional disease? We recognize the reality that, yes, there are emotional traumas in childhood, whether it be physiological, psychological abuse, sexual abuse. A lot of these things do happen. A lot coming out in the news about a lot of these horrific events. And yes, they do impact and create disease later in life. No denying that. It's where I think German New Medicine is definitely, I wouldn't say onto something. I mean, they're acknowledging something that homeopaths have acknowledged since the beginning of homeopathy. Does that make homeopathy better or worse than New Medicine? No, this isn't about that.
Yes, it does.
Oh, it does. It
no,
does
it
not.
Doesn't.
This is about acknowledging all these different systems of healing. I like the fact that all of this is coming out. I like the fact that people are talking German New Medicine. I am not an expert in it. And yes, we will do more shows about it. But at the same time here, I want to talk about the toxicological assault, these solvents linked to Parkinson's disease. This particular industrial solvent is known as trichloroethylene, TCE, appears to be greatly increasing the risk of Parkinson's. And exposure to two other solvents also boosts the chances. And I don't see their chances. To me, it's not about chance. I mean, you expose yourself to these toxins, expect that something's going to happen, especially if you can't detoxify them. But these other neurological degenerative diseases, and there are many more that are accelerating. It says here in the article, as many as 500,000 people in the United States have Parkinson's, and more than 50,000 new cases are diagnosed here each year. Some research suggests, of course, genetic and environmental factors. What does that mean, genetic and environmental? I mean, the environment impacts, what is that? It doesn't say anything.
It means we're going to study genes because we can make money doing nothing,
yeah,
and we'll acknowledge the truth, which is the genes have nothing to do with it. It's the environment.
Yeah. See, several studies have reported that exposure to solvents may increase the risk. That's already there because your genes are bad, right? That's what they want to blame you on. So they could still kind of have plausible deniability. It's not the poisons. It's not the toxins. We can't be blamed. In this new study, U.S. researchers interviewed 99 pairs of elderly twins about their lifetime occupations and hobbies. Exposure to TCE was associated with a six-fold increase of Parkinson's. Exposure to perchloroethylene, PERC, and carbon tetrachloride were also associated with increased risk. Because all of these toxic poisons, we talk about depleting minerals. We talk about depleting selenium, the protective mechanisms. We talk about basically intoxicating the very fat that protects our nervous system, causing the fat to now become aberrant fat, becoming toxic fat, and in that case, releasing that which in the very layers surrounding the brain, the nervous system, these poisons, and are bound now to these poisons. Mm. And of course, they're going to say, well, we found a virus there. It's the virus's fault. It's the, you know, bacteria's fault, etc. I don't discount the, let's say, exacerbation of any existing thing. We talk in cancer. Liam, we talk in terms of comorbidities. That is, we're worried about the cancer, but you're also loaded with infection, right? So they usually load you with antibiotics. I would rather load you with silver hydrosol because you'll also oxygenate the cancer, which doesn't like oxygen. But that's another story. A study was led by researchers at the Parkinson's Institute in Sunnyvale, California. Of course, these institutes survive on never finding cures, or there would be no reason for the Parkinson's Institute, and published in the Annals of Neurology. Now, this study focused also on, as you said, on job-related exposure, solvents common in soil, groundwater, and air in the U.S. TCE, in fact, is detected in up to 30% of the nation's drinking water supplies. We're killing ourselves with our environmental destruction. And the EPA doing nothing to protect us in this case. 30%. How is that? So it's only 3 out of 10 of your wells and water supply. That's all right.
I remember poor Michael J. Fox, as a relatively young guy, began to have this problem and the shakes and the tremors, and has been an advocate for research and drugs and these sorts of things.
Yeah.
And I remember somebody pointed out to me that he sold, what was it, Diet Pepsi?
Oh, he was a big promoter of one of the diet sodas. He was drinking a lot of aspartame-laced drinks,
right,
which is a neurotoxin as well.
Right, a neurotoxin. And somebody pointed out, and I said, well, I don't know him. I don't know how much of the stuff he drank, but I'm sure it was compensated free. And I imagine that he certainly had some of it, unless he really just hated it and took the money.
No, he was drinking a lot of it. It was reported well-known in the circles of around Michael J. Fox.
But right. So, let's talk about aspartame. So we have these industrial chemicals, and I don't know where the sources of these, but you're saying they're ending up in the water, like a lot of the PCB stuff, like all of Monsanto's gifts to humanity.
Yeah.
I have friends in middle America in the north, and they tell me about stuff being dropped from planes. And I'm not enough of an expert to really speak on this, and I don't have any inside information.
But chemtrails specifically.
Chemtrails or aluminum seeding of clouds.
Barium, etc.
Barium, right. Mm-hmm. People have been seeding clouds for a long time, so it doesn't, I certainly can't discount it. It also wouldn't shock me because I've seen what medical science has done to people, with people, without their permission, without their knowledge, and against their will for half a century, at least in this country and longer in other parts of the world. So what are we living in? We're living in a kind of a stew with fallout coming from the sky and fallout coming into the waterways and fallout from the factory farming coming into our drinking water and our food. And the solution, of course, is meat.
Schmeat. I thought it was sugar. Honey. And there's no honey in the honey, right? It's all crazy.
But there's schmeat.
There is schmeat.
There's
coming,
no meat in the
coming
schmeat.
To a, I don't know, a lab near you. Can I, have a double schmeat with, what do you, it's amazing.
Can I have a double schmeat with my aspartame barium, please?
Exactly. So the toxicological thing, I keep talking about the heavy metals. Sometimes I think on my Sunday show, I did a segment on detoxing heavy metals. Somebody said, just make it easy. It's too complicated, right?
Right.
And I said, listen, there are a lot of paths to get well, a lot of paths to remove these toxins. And we come back to sea vegetation. We come back to selenium-rich foods or the food-grown forms of selenium because that's such a protective trace element. But all of the elements have a role to play. We've talked about increasing glutathione production. How do we do that? We can do it with supplementation of N-acetylcysteine along with selenium. We could consume what we call it, from the whey protein, that's non-denatured, right? Not pasteurized, and how it increases glutathione levels. I talked with Stephen Huer about that. He had many people that had measurable drops, significant drops in heavy metal burdens within their body from doing this.
Do you think you can get that from goats, smaller animals, goat's milk as well?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Good.
It can be done. Yeah. It may, in fact, be products out there like that I'm not aware of already.
So I just think the proteins and fats in the smaller animals are better fits for...
Yeah,
for,
I understand that, and I would agree if you can get it there. But what we want to do is increase the detox pathways, open the detox pathways. I've talked with Dr. Frank King numerous times about heavy metal detoxification. No matter what method you use, if you're not already doing also a homeopathic heavy metal detox support, you don't have some of those energetic metabolic stimuli, if you will, to go after that which the body is exhausted, very often, too often exhausted to deal with. And so you can stimulate the energies and direct the energies that way.
Yeah, for heavy metal detox, I'd probably, some Tchaikovsky, some Beethoven. Because you want
you got to balance it out.
You want the music to be up,
right,
and sort of gritty.
How about Electric Light Orchestra?
I want heavy metal detox. I want to get off of it.
You didn't want the transition phase?
Well, I'm thinking
like it's
Beethoven's
the methadone. ELO is methadone.
Ninth.
For that.
These are staccato. The ninth, the Ode to Joy. See, that's
that'll
almost
scare
heavy metal,
it out of you.
But you can detox. It's almost a homeopathic way to get out of.
Well, using music as medicine. I agree. Are you a conscious music selector?
Me?
Right?
Oh, yeah. God. Are you kidding?
It's medicine, isn't it?
I walk through stores where they're playing bad music and I almost scream, this is horrible. This is so bad.
You don't survive elevators well, do you?
Remember we were in an elevator, we were in a meeting, and we got in the elevator, and it was like you were in a Mel Brooks movie. The music was like, ding, ding, da, ding, da, ding, da, ding.
It was,
it was like high anxiety.
It was, yes. I do remember that, inspired by Hitchcock at that point, too.
Absolutely.
Oh, my
music
goodness.
Is healing, and playing music is healing, and I don't think most See, there was a point where it was actually a very rare thing to be able to play music electronically or even on a cylinder or a record.
Sure.
So a lot of homes had musical instruments, pianos, lutes,
people
guitars.
People played, yeah.
And people played. And a lot of people could sort of knock out a tune or two on the piano without being Ravel or Chopin or anything like that and do pretty well. And people would gather around and join their voices together in a hurly-burly and do as well as they could and sing. And gosh, I wish we still did that.
Yeah, well, now we all have our MP3 players and headphones, right? Yeah, I know. Well, it's fascinating. Like I said, everything we do can be medicine. I think that's the point here. I mentioned a few things with heavy metal detox with Dr. Bitar, of course. These extreme circumstances where children are extremely toxic from vaccines in a very rapid way, causing them to basically lose contact to the outside world with a lot of the autism spectrum. And these may require more aggressive either transdermal or sometimes intravenous chelation type therapy. And this is not everybody needs to go that route, but there are oral, versions of it as well that don't survive the gut very well. But, you know, natural chelators from the plant kingdom, including the spirulina, including the chlorella, including the, what is the, cilantro. There are a lot of things that we can do to bind
like
up the
cilantro.
Heavy. Yeah. Cilantro is an excellent heavy metal chelator. Even vegetable glycerin. I learned this from Chris Barr many years ago, that they can use vegetable glycerin as a binding agent to help detoxify the metal. So it's not like we're SOL, if you will, if we don't have a doctor to chelate it, you know, intravenously. In extreme cases, I realize the need for that. But in cases of Parkinson's, we also have the added insult and assault of these artificial sweeteners, the artificial colorings, the flavorings, the preservatives, the additives, the pesticides, the herbicides, the fungicides. They focused on two or three in that article. But you add that times 1,000 or times 10,000, and not even considering the GMOs, it's a wonder any of our nervous systems are still intact.
Yeah, well, I guess we're stronger than the bad guys think we are. I still feel sick from 15 years old, I guess, when I ate some NutraSweet for a short period, and I just feel, I think about it, and I still feel nauseous. Mm-hmm. I still feel it, because the stuff, comes apart at room temperature and becomes
86 degrees Fahrenheit.
Formaldehyde,
formic acid, which is the equivalent of ant sting poison. When an ant ever bites you, have you ever been bitten by a fire ant?
Yeah,
that's formic acid. That's what does that. And that's one of the breakdown components of aspartame. By the way, they've renamed it Amino Sweet. They're marketing it as a natural sweetener now. And this was on, a short list of the potential chemical warfare agents at the Pentagon in the early 70s.
It's a carcinogen.
Known carcinogen, yeah. In fact, the one of the breakdown components, DKP, is linked to astrocytomas, which is a form of a brain tumor.
No.
Yeah.
All right, how do I get this stuff out of my body from 40 years ago, whatever?
I wouldn't worry.
Ago.
At this point, it's gone.
I got to get it out.
It's out. But if not, homeopathy, the additive, like food additive formula that King Bio has, covers the aspartame.
Cilantro help?
Cilantro wouldn't hurt.
And seaweed.
Plenty of seaweed. We love seaweed here.
Hey, I want to get the Maine Coast Sea Vegetables to come on the show. I love that brand, Maine Coast Sea Vegetables.
Anybody know a contact with Maine Coast Sea Vegetables?
I really
want
them to advertise because I think they're the best. I really think they're the best product on the market. I mean, I really do.
I chew their stuff up like candy.
I do.
You do. I do occasionally on the
road. I really
road,
do, too. Road, yes. I walk around chewing on it. But there's a West Coast brand that's really good, too. But Mendocino. Okay. But the Maine Coast is great. So if anybody knows them, have them reach out to the Robert Scott Bell Show. I mean, I just want to promote them, and I want them to pay me.
Okay, excellent. Well, you've earned it. You deserve it. Listen, this is the Robert Scott Bell Show. Liam Sheff, contributor, conflaborator, all the wonderful words we have for him. We're having a great time today on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Thank you for being here. If you've got a comment, question, or otherwise, 866-939-2355. And anybody up in the heartland, Midwest, that wants to tell Liam, watch your mouth, Liam. We love to hear from you as well. You're fun.
Those are my favorites.
Yes, we like that. So we're going to be back to wrap up the show after this. And look forward to taking a little breather and then coming back. We've got a special event scheduled, I think, a couple of days from now. We're going to come back on the AIDS topic, right? We're going to be getting ready for that as well. So stand by. We're going to take a quick break, say thanks to our sponsors, and we'll be back to wrap up the Robert Scott Bell Show after this.
You're listening to the Godzilla of Health Talk Radio.
Run! It's Godzilla!
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Now, Nick, what's up the volume, man? For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com.
In the health world through the power of radio, it's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
I was thinking, Liam, about how to wrap up today's show because we were right now on brain neurological disorders. We're talking about Parkinson's. I've covered issues like Alzheimer's in previous shows, and sometimes I feel like I have it by the end of a show when we were just like, exhausted and spent on so many topics. There is something that we do every once in a while. You know, you come from a scientific background, family of doctors and researchers, and sometimes you just scratch your head when you read these, you know, these published journals and go, who the hell paid for that? Why? What were they? They actually paid and found that out? You know what we call those here on the Robert Scott Bell Show? It's time for our
moment of duh.
What are you people? On dope?
Amalgamated Association of Morons. Local 6 and 7-8.
You're crazy!
No.
What is your major malfunction?
Yes, it is football season. Our friends out there that are into the gridiron. And today's moment of duh relates to the practice or play of football. In fact, once you retire, it turns out that a study found, and this is on healthfinder.gov, so you know it's got to be good because it's a .gov site. Today's moment of duh finds that former football players' brains may benefit from what? A healthy lifestyle.
Wow.
Liam, say it isn't so. Former football players could benefit from a healthy lifestyle. Their brains might be helped.
What was that movie, North Dallas 40? What are your favorite football movies?
North Dallas 40 was a classic. Nick Nolte in his prime at that point, right?
Well,
Mac Davis, he wasn't prime, you know, prime of something else.
Yeah. Mac Davis.
But better diet, more exercise.
And Brian Song, right?
Brian Song, Everybody Cried.
Everybody Cried.
Yes.
Brian Song.
You don't not cry at Brian
Song.
You got to cry at Brian Song.
Now,
I had to cry at this study, though.
It's not a study, right?
No, I mean, a healthy lifestyle. I mean,
what's to talk about? Hey, eating.
It is a study. It appeared in a recent journal, Physician and Sports Medicine. They actually studied this.
Let's form a consortium. I want to start studying things. People who walk under telephone poles where there aren't as many birds don't get pooped on as much, and I need $10 million.
You're only asking for 10?
That's all I need.
Yeah, there's plenty more where that came from. Just go to the NIH.
I know. The AIDS researchers have got, like John P. Moore, have gotten tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah, and he's done
terrible
bird
things.
Poop work.
Bird poop work.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a study. Not putting a tire inflator in your mouth and turning it on will probably result in less cheek damage if you don't do that.
You don't, yeah, you I think
I need
we need
money.
A study though to prove
I need
that.
A study
I'm
to
just
prove
not
it.
Sure about that. One day you could be a moment of duh.
Laying
too.
Down in the middle of the road on a highway is uh-huh. probably not conducive to good brain
heart,
activity.
Brain activity.
Heart,
yeah,
heart yeah. health.
Well, heart and brain, because this is a, yeah, but both related here. Even years after they're done with playing sports, athletes can improve their diet and exercise habits to improve their mental and physical health. Somebody got paid to do that study.
Well, remember when I was a kid, you too, even though you're a lot older than I am.
Thank you. I'm a lot grayer than you, that's for
what
sure.
are you, like two months older than I?
2 decades? I don't know.
No, you're a number
five,
of
6 years.
You're six?
Five.
Four.
Five.
Okay.
Don't argue with me. You're
we'll
elder.
Take it for five.
All right.
Here's
Alex,
four.
I got Van. Yeah, I'll do that for five.
We'll now, no, but they told us, like, don't do anything to your head because you can never grow another brain cell. Well, of course, this is not true. We can generate new cells and we can generate new neural pathways. And the science of studying brain chemistry is, of course, nowhere because they were wrong. They were wrong from the beginning. You can regenerate a lot of neural pathways. You can actually regrow them. And if you and they've seen this with people who had traumatic – I don't advocate this and I feel bad for anybody who has, but you have a traumatic brain injury. People sometimes lose the ability to do something. They find that entire different parts of their brain that they said, oh, that's only for ordering food in a Chinese restaurant. You can't learn to walk with that. They learn to walk on the Chinese restaurant menu ordering.
Right, right.
Part. Because why? Because...
No MSG.
No MSG.
That's because.
Every time you take a step, you say, no MSG, no MSG, no MSG. but because we don't know anything about anything, and we should stop pretending that we do. All of these studies exist inside of a bunch of lies. So all of these studies really aren't studies. They're not telling you anything you don't know. They're all confronting, without really confronting, a kind of lie that was told. In other words, diet doesn't matter. So now you have little studies, and they sort of wiggle at the edges. Well, diet might matter, diet might matter, diet might matter, but really it's the virus, but diet might matter. Mm-hmm. And but really, it could be the toxins, but it's the virus, but diet might matter.
Head trauma is due to your genes. Right?
If they're so tight that you strangle something and you fall down and hit your head, then you're...
As a football player, I mean, they do wear some things that maybe... Anyway, squeezing the thing out of the thing.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, researchers also found that frequent, vigorous exercise was associated with higher physical and mental health ratings among former college football players. So, continuing to exercise. Again, another aspect to the moment of duh. You got to be kidding me. They paid for this. Who paid for this?
You know, you want the greatest thing to do throughout the day. Remember running in place when you were inside? If you grew up in the East Coast and you couldn't always go out on the outside in the gym, you'd have to run in place, sometimes for like 4 minutes. The best thing you can do if you're at work all day is find a little quiet corner and just run in place for a while. Lift your knees up to your waist. You know, do 60 or 120 or 240, whatever reps. Your vision becomes bright. Everything. Why is that? Why does your whole body come alive? Your lymph system is moving. Your blood is
right.
working.
Yeah.
And if you ever see a guy just walking around but running in place and you think he's nuts, it's me and I'm feeling very good. Thank you.
That's you. He's nuts and he likes omega-3 fats. Reminds me of Dr. Joseph Maroon, the neurosurgeon for the Pittsburgh Steelers professional football team, and he basically prescribes omega-3 fats for these athletes with injuries, and he finds they work better than non-steroidals, steroidals, COX-2 inhibiting drugs. I mean, that's the power of the omega-3 fats, which we are fat phobic. Again, this, you know, comes back to what reminds me of what I did on Jerry Doyle's show yesterday, where he wanted, you know, to talk about that fat pill. We got a new fat pill coming down. And, you know, it's like all the Americans are fat, obese. What's going on? We just need to kill the fat. Of course, kill the fat, kill yourself, kill your brain. And this is where, you know, do the opposite of what the government has been saying for decades and saying low fat, low fat, low fat, no fat, no fat, no fat. No, we need to increase fats. We need to embrace fats.
Good fats.
Of course,
very
good fats.
Specific.
Trans fats only. Hydrogenated oils only.
Oh.
Okay, did anybody catch that? I kind of was testing
you. I want you to go
to
the fair, and I want you to buy the deep-fried horse hoof with powdered sugar and a double-wrap
right.
bacon-grilled sausage.
Funnel cakes
yeah,
are there
cake.
For you.
Right, see, that's why people got hooked on low fat, because the fats we had were all these denatured, horrible, disease-causing, fat-producing.
And they replaced the fats with sugar,
ugh.
Right? That fed the craving, of course, the, you know, the cheap, quick, and easy, fast thing, so... What is that?
Oh, honey, honey.
Ah, oh, sugar, sugar. Yes, we know it well. That was the Archies?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah, from the Archies. So we went cartoon. We went all cartoon on you today, didn't we? Liam. You know, you're just loopy.
I think you're projecting.
Well, it's an alliteration. Loopy Liam, as we
man,
end the show.
That's going to stick.
It won't stick. It will not stick. Go ahead. Come back. Hit me with something. Come on. Hit me.
Get the woodshed and the bear.
Oh, the woodshed, the bear. We're getting old roily again. Hey, by the way, University of Missouri had something to do with this. Ron in Missouri, can you talk to them for us? We're not pleased that probably taxpayer-funded money was used to figure out that better diet and lifestyle is good for former football players' brains. We're going to acknowledge it here. We're going to say, hey, it's true, but it is your moment of duh. Thank you, Liam, for being here again. Thank you also to Bruno, wherever he is. He comes and goes. Oh, yes, Bruno, he's out there. All right, see you next time. Thank you to Super Producer Don as well. And until tomorrow, we simply remind you that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out, counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
Scott Bell Show.